Produced at CFIS-FM in Prince George, Health First is available across Canada through the National Campus and Community Radio Association.
Well, we're back with Dr. Shobha Srinivasan and Dr. Linda Weinberger. They are the authors of Psychological Nutrition. Before the break, I was asking you about what I was asking you really was, have we lost something over the generations? You know, is it being passed on in the sense of, you know, our parents being more stressed and as a result putting that on their children, and they're growing up with for example, a food guide for psychology that is different than histories before us?
Well, you know, I think that's a very interesting way of looking at it. I can't underemphasize the importance of what role parents play in modeling behavior to impressionable children. So typically when we see our parents, our loved ones, engaging in a certain kind of behavior and then having a reaction to it, and how do they cope with it? How do they respond to that? It gives us an idea as the children what we should do. So for example, if I'm growing up in a family where I see my parents are so stressed that instead of taking time to relax, what do? They don't talk about it. They just go forward. They start to have more arguments. They just don't see the happiness in life. Then I start to get that impression that that's what it's all about, and that's how I should cope when I have a negative event that happens to me. Or, for example, I see how my parents, let's say, react when we have to go to a party and there's going to be, you know, Thanksgiving. The wonders of going for Thanksgiving, and it brings out all the family dynamics. And people so often write to these advice columns in the newspapers, oh my gosh, Thanksgiving is coming, Christmas is coming, I'm going to have to see somebody I don't want to see, what do I do? And instead of really realizing that, let's look at that emotional reaction, let's look at the impact that it has on you. What can we do to change that? How can we modify either our behavior or our reaction and show that to our children? Make that be a model to them, not only for our own health, but to try and instill in the child this notion that you can have control over the events in your life and how you react to it, and to do so in a psychologically healthy way.
Okay, so in your book, you talk about, the 7-day snapshot, and really about balancing our psychological nutrition on a daily basis, and you gave an example of Thanksgiving or Christmas or something, you know, when we have our families coming in. But what needs to happen on a daily basis so that we get fed nutritionally from a psychological point of view? What needs to happen?
Okay, so let's look at what I had just talked about. And that day of Thanksgiving, what we want people to do, and this is something we outline in our book, a 7-day snapshot. Because, you know, it's very hard to just, at that moment, think about how I'm going to react and what I should change. We want people to be able to function from a baseline. Let's look at one period of a 7-day, to take one period of 7 days. And what we're going to ask people to do is to look at and be mindful of their high and low emotional intake, their fat. It's going to require looking at this and writing it in the form of a diary. Now, I say the word diary and people go, oh my God, another obligation, more work for me to do, I'm so busy. No, 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 no. It really is a simplified snapshot into how you react over days and over a period of 7. We test drove it ourselves. We tried it ourselves to make sure it was doable, and it is, and it isn't that onerous. What we ask folks to do is we want you to record your emotional reactions, the triggers that brought that reaction, and the value that you assign to that emotion, whether it's positive or negative. And we go into further detail in the book. But by completing the snapshot, you get a clear picture of your emotional nutritional content. and whether you can assess you're psychologically nourished or malnourished. This snapshot is going to help you construct a nutritional label, and it's also going to show to you whether you have this pattern of experiencing negative or positive emotions at particular times of the day, in particular situations, or with particular people, so that you have a more informed view of what's going on with you psychologically.
So, what, you know, in terms of, you know, what we need in a certain day, is everybody different, or do we all need something that's similar?
I think that people are, of course, different. People differ in terms of what psychologists used to call temperament. You know, some people are just naturally happy or happy-go-lucky. Other people are more given to worry. So the 7-day snapshot is going to tell you where you are in that kind of on a daily basis. But I think more importantly, there are probably things that we all do that are harmful to our health. And we call some of these things emotional anorexia, binge emotions, things that then lead to psychological malnourishment. So some of that is kind of adopting these ways of being. A lot of this is what women do, more than men, I think, but we're women, so we're talking about women. One of the things that we talk about is getting into a mindset where you just deplete yourself because all you're doing is giving to other people. You're just so caught up in your role as maybe a mom, a wife, an employee. That's all you're doing, and it's kind of oriented around self-sacrifice. And that then leads to emotional depletion and emotional anorexia. Other people binge with emotions. It's like they might binge with food. You know, just kind of gobble up negative emotions all the time, anger, upset, fear. And a lot of this then ends up weighing us down and, you know, keeping us really from our best. But you are right. You know, people are different. And this is why, as Linda said, kind of need to assess it. Where are you overall each day over the 7-day period in terms of positive or negative emotions? Well, positive we call low-fat emotions. Negative we call the high-fat emotions.
So what is the emotional pyramid that you talk about?
Okay. The emotional pyramid, the whole thing, I always get confused here, is a way of looking at psychological functioning. So think of it again in terms of a pyramid. You've got the base, and at the base is the largest part, and it consists of the emotions that run your everyday life and keep you in survival mode. Moving up the pyramid, we get to the next level, and that's examples of social lubricants. These are the things, the emotions that you need to do that help avoid conflict, such as biting your tongue, engaging in social niceties, and so forth. If you move to the next level of psychological functioning, it's the need for affiliation. Human beings are group animals. They like to be with each other. And these are the emotions you need in order to be with each other, to keep those relationships going. The next set on the emotional pyramid is a sense of self. All the things that you do that tell you about your identity and who you are. And finally, at the very top, the last and smallest part of that is the cap. And that's your inner core sense of destiny. After you get all the other stuff done, then you can focus on this luxury item of inner self-actualization. What Shobha and I talk about and thought about with respect to this ordinary pyramid of psychological functioning is this really leading to good psychological nutrition? You know, you spend so much time trying to survive and in that type of situation, and then you do your social functioning and you just go up that pyramid. Why should we assume that getting up to that tippy top inner satisfaction has to wait until you do all the other stuff first? So our idea of psychological nutrition is taking that pyramid and flipping it on its head, flipping it over. We want to emphasize that people devote more time toward fulfilling their creative self, toward getting into that core sense of who they are, and to focus on it. This, in essence, should be your base. This should be the solid foundation of where you are and what drives you.
Well, you'd almost think that, you know, from a point of view, and I don't think it's being, you know, it's taught as families, you know, going back to that, is that really, I mean, if we kind of took some time to focus on who, you know, who we really are and what that sense of destiny is, you know, what are we called to do, that we'd have more fulfillment in our life.
No doubt.
That's absolutely true. This is really what a lot psychologists talk about when they talk about meaning.
So you know, the question is, how do we as a society get people to think about that? And I guess that's what you're trying to do in this book. But how do we get it to pass it on to our children so that, you know, if they're really stable in who they are, then they make better emotional choices?
Shoba, do you want to, or?
Linda, did you want to talk about it? Go ahead.
Okay. Well, I think it's all part of really looking at our lives, being secure in who we are, feeling as if we are psychologically nourished, because it's so hard to give to our children, to give to others, if you yourself are in a state of starvation. You need to be healthy. You need to be satisfied. You need to have a sense of who you are. And then you can give, and you can give in a good way. The other thing that we're very concerned about is this notion of being nurturant and supportive. Those are very feminine, stereotypic characteristics. But what they do is so very important. By being supportive, by being nurturant, what you're doing is you're setting the stage for those who are in your company to be able to explore and attain their full potential. Think about mothers and wives and how often they encourage their children and spouses to reach for the stars, to be as creative and to attain all that they can. And that's what we want to emphasize. That's where we want people to be, and the impact it can have on our generations to follow will be enormous. It will unleash creativity and really, in so doing, help the rest of our society. We firmly believe that.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's a fascinating idea and a fascinating topic. And I'm wondering, you know, we only have a couple minutes left, and I'm wondering if you can sum up the book for people that are just joining the conversation now, and then maybe somebody can tell us if you got a website or where people can get the book.
Sure.
Well, I think Psychological Nutrition at its base is a book about helping people learn where they are right now emotionally, what's not working, and moving towards what we think is the biggest part of what our lives should be about, which is big dreaming and feeding our soul. And a lot of that gets what we call constipated by all these negative emotions. This entire book is really about unclogging your soul from those negative emotions, getting them out so that you can find out what is that big dream, what is that inner destiny that you have, and how can you move towards fulfilling it.
And who should be reading this book? Who is it meant for?
Well, we wrote it for women, and we wrote it for initially women, we thought, in the middle years, but since then we've gotten a lot of feedback that women across the board, across all ages, seem to really like it. And interestingly enough, we've gotten feedback from men as well who say, you know, we struggle with these same issues related to psychological malnutrition. Mm-hmm. This is not a female thing. So we began from our own perspective, maybe egocentric as women, and did it that way. But I think it probably has a wide range.
I think you're right on that. So the book again, tell us what it's called and where people can get it.
It's Psychological Nutrition, and you can get it on Amazon.com or you can get it on BarnesandNoble.com.
Thank you both for coming on the show. It's been great talking to you.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us. It's been a pleasure.
I enjoyed it as well. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to be talking about knees with Dr. Gregory Martin.